This is an MP3 audio clip from the weekly People First radio broadcast.
CHLY 101.7 in Nanaimo.
Swami Maheshananda Saraswati is a yogi from the Dasnami Sannyasa order and a graduate of the Bihar School of Yoga in India. He travels as a wandering yogi and has conducted a number of yoga workshops on a wide range of topics in universities, corporate environments, sports organizations, yoga studios, schools, hospitals, prisons, temples, and other places, both within India and internationally. Workshop topics he has offered range from stress management to various specific types of yoga, including yoga for children and simple yoga for happy and healthy life. Swami Maheshananda is currently visiting Nanaimo and the islands, and he joins us in the studio today.
Welcome, and thank you so much for joining us. Tell us about your wanderings and your travels presentations.
In this tradition of the spiritual dimension, we go through an experience with the master for a few years, an experience of learning and of different dimensions and aspects of yoga. And then the next stage is to share that knowledge with other people. And there is no boundary about it. So we take on this life of the wandering yogi, where we reach out to people of different places, different countries, different nationalities, different ways of thinking, and help them see the path of a spiritual connection.
Did someone seek you out to come here, or did you initiate coming to Vancouver Island yourself, or was there an organization, a group of people that invited you here?
When I was at this Bihar School of Yoga, I met few people who had come from here to our school to study yoga. And I had contacts with them, and they were interested to invite me over here. So this is how it worked out. And then as I travel, I create more contact and reach out to more people.
Yeah. What are you doing on the island? What kind of information and stuff are you sharing with people here?
Actually, my program here is organized by Island Yoga Vista, and they have different programs, different topics. And I'm trying to cover a wide range of yoga topics and practices so that people can get an idea of what the extent of yoga is and how they can connect to the true path and to see the beauty and the joy and the harmony that comes through yoga practices. And mm-hmm. It also has to connect to one's own spiritual self.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a bit about the need for that sort of thing in these times that we live in? How yoga fits with some of the chaos that we're currently involved in our world?
You see, yoga is science of health, harmony, and inner joy. So no matter what time we are living in, yoga is always useful, and we are talking about a science which is more than 5,000, 6,000 years old, and it is still relevant in the society because yoga helps us to gain good health, and as we develop health, it also helps us to create harmony within and also outside. So society, as we understand, is also made up of individuals. If the individuals are healthy, then the society will be healthy. So yoga creates that kind of harmony. It has an approach that creates the external harmony through the feeling and the concept of ahimsa, non-violence, truthfulness, honesty. So that's also an integral part of yoga. And it also helps at personal level through personal growth and development, working with the body, working with the mind, relaxing the mind, giving the mind its focus, letting the creative potentials express themselves.
Swami Maheshananda, many people in the West, from what I can see, seem to think of yoga as something that is almost exclusively a physical activity, you know, hatha yoga. I'm wondering if you can speak more about the, let's say, the fuller nature of yoga. You mentioned the mind, you know, not just the body, the mind as well, different types of yoga.
You see, yoga takes care of the entire dimension of the being, of all the different dimensions of the personality. Unfortunately, in West, I have seen that some traditions or some people, they are more focused on just the physical body. But yoga has a thorough understanding of the being. It says, a human being is made up of five different dimensions. The physical body is the gross part, which we identify with most of the time. We are concerned with the health and the beauty and the problems of the physical body, needs and the desires of the physical body. But there are subtle dimensions like the energy body, which supplies energy to the body, which supplies energy to the mind. There is the mental dimension, which is responsible for our mental, emotional experiences and expressions. Then there is a more subtle dimension which helps us to see the connection with the larger universe, and that is called the wisdom body. We all have it, and we are all connected to each other through this wisdom body. And the most subtle aspect of our being is the bliss body. We essentially are made of this bliss principle, the inner joy. So yoga takes this approach that these are the different dimensions and we have to take care of each and every dimension. So for the physical body, yoga gives the practices called asanas, the physical postures as we understand. And as we enter into the subtle dimension, for the energy body, yoga gives us so many different variations of breathing techniques. Generally, we are not even aware that we are breathing, but there are more than 20 different ways of breathing that in yoga text you will find that help us to not only allow the energy to flow freely through the system, but it also helps to raise the level of energy so that the mind can work in a higher energy field, so that we can connect to the higher illumined and the intuitive mind. And the next stage of yoga is to allow the mind to relax. Because if we raise the level of energy and if we lose it, if we dissipate it away, then it is not going to help us. So mind has to be relaxed. And that is a very important stage before meditation, which many systems don't understand. They just straight away jump into meditation. So there are techniques called relaxation by which the mind can relax in a deep state, and the resolution or a positive idea can be implanted. A seed can be planted there. And then when the mind is relaxed, it can become a focused mind. And a focused mind can become a creative mind. So we relax the mind through practices of pratyahar, relaxation. And then for the wisdom body, to activate the wisdom body and the knowledge that we have, the connection that we can see with the larger universe, there are practices of concentration. Concentration on something positive or creative that can open our mind. And the concentration is good whether it is on any image of God or any symbol or any psychic symbol or a natural object like a lotus flower or a beautiful flower or the sunrise or the full moon. That helps the mind to open up to larger possibility, to connect to the larger universe. And if the focus is good, the mind enters into an experience of meditation. And in that state of meditation, one experiences the inner bliss. That is how the bliss body becomes active. So yoga takes care of the entire personality, not just the physical body. So a true approach in yoga has to take care of the different dimensions. And only an integrated approach can help the total personality to evolve, to grow, and to see the connection, to connect to the inner self.
The focus of our show is on the issues of homelessness and mental health and addiction, which every human being is somewhere on the continuum of mental health or has some addiction issue. And I know that this approach would be extremely useful at the most beginning level with small children, but seeing the chaos that comes into people's lives who give themselves over to addiction and stuff, being able to participate in something like this and to be able to evolve into a healthy being would be pretty important.
Yeah, sure. And I feel that the society should take care of this and they should provide the opportunity who have fallen into addiction or who have fallen into crime. And the individuals are part of the society. They should be taken care of. There should be some charity organization or NGOs who should take care of this aspect. There are so many yoga teachers. They can help come together and create an opportunity for this kind of people, give them an integrated approach by which they can develop their physical strength, slowly learn to manage their mind, strengthen their willpower.
In your travels, have you seen in any country where the type of learning that you're talking about is made available to people so that they can access it without having to pay money? And some people don't have money. And I know in Canada, it's harder for people to access these kinds of things.
Yeah, that is why I'm saying that if NGOs and charity organizations take a leading role and they can provide the teaching through the teachers to these people, so they can make it easily accessible to the people who have fallen into addiction or who have a problem with the problem of homelessness, then I think it will be a more cohesive effort rather than any individual teacher trying to take the role. The society has to come together. It's like if you consider the society as the human body, then drug addiction, crime, that's like the wound on the body. And the body needs to be healed. The wounds have to be healed. So the whole body, the whole society has to get together and take care of that.
Do you get a positive response in Canada from speaking to business people and corporations that this is a possibility?
I definitely see this as a possibility, and I would like to volunteer my knowledge and do any program if there is any opportunity that is created. And definitely, I have had a wonderful experience in Canada. I have done program in schools and prisons and temples and different places. So definitely, I feel that the Canadian people are very open to an integrated approach of yoga. And they understand that it is based on a scientific principle. It takes care of the total health of the person. So I definitely see that there is possibility.
You were at Vancouver Island University last week, I think.
Yes.
And I believe that you shared something under the topic of your life as a wandering yogi or traveling yogi. What was that presentation like?
The program was it was a talk on my own experiences in the spiritual dimension.
Okay.
And my experiences of traveling around the world and teaching yoga, sharing that knowledge with other people. So it was an interesting experience because this was the first time I spoke about my personal experiences, my psychic experiences. And it was a good opening because I like to interact with young people. Because that is the age when they need a little direction to connect with their own inner self, to connect with their own creativity. So I'm looking forward to another opportunity of interacting with the students there.
Are there any misconceptions about yoga that you might want to speak to in the last couple of two or three minutes we have here? One that comes to my mind is, I'm thinking that some individuals, some of our listeners might think that yoga itself is a religion when I gather it isn't. And I'm wondering if there's anything else that some basic concepts about yoga and about swamis, let's say, for example. What is a swami, you know?
Well,
like, are you actually reading our minds right now? you know, these misconceptions.
Yeah, right? When you said about the misconceptions, I was definitely going to touch upon that point of the misconception that yoga is a religion.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the very definition of yoga is to stop the mental modifications and see the real self in the stillness of the mind. So all this religion, all these concepts of different images that we have, that's a modification in the mind. And only when there is stillness, we see the real self. So yoga is actually a science of spirituality. It is not a religion. And let me tell you very frankly that I believe that yoga was a universal science once upon a time in different civilizations. If you look carefully at the different psychic symbols and the images in the Mayan tradition, in the Aztec tradition, in the Egyptian tradition, they had the concept of different yoga postures and the psychic pathway, the chakras. So it was a universal knowledge once upon a time. Unfortunately, these civilizations came to an abrupt end. We are lucky that in the Indian tradition, the knowledge still survives. They gave more importance to knowledge and transference of the knowledge through the guru-disciple relationship. And we did not spend too much time building pyramids. It was more about the knowledge and the transference of knowledge. So the knowledge has still survived. So I would say that yoga is a universal knowledge. Everybody can connect to that universal stream of knowledge and everybody can gain. And whatever religion you follow, yoga will help you to connect to your religion in a more better way. Mm-hmm.
Jan, we have about 1 minute left.
Curious about the guru-disciple relationship that you mentioned, if you could just talk briefly about that.
Well, the word guru means the one who removes the darkness and brings the light. So guru is not a person who controls your life, but you go to a guru to get connected to that source of light. We all live within some inner darkness and ignorance. And we know that there is a possibility of connecting to the inner light. The guru is the principle, not just a person, but a principle that opens up that connection and helps us connect to the inner light, to help us connect to the divine energy. So that is the main role of the guru. The disciple has to go through training so that he becomes receptive to that, so he can handle that experience. So that's an important aspect in spiritual evolution.
Thank you, Swami Maheshananda,
yes,
for joining us today.
People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with Open Minds, Open Windows Society, both of Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of these organizations.